Welcome back to the Captain's Run. We'll get straight back into it. Before we get into Sharkies versus the Bulldogs, is there anywhere else in the... What about Broncos? You know, we spoke about the concerns with the Rabbitohs. Mm-hmm. Is there any concerns with the Broncos that you saw in round one? Obviously, it is only round one, but is there certain parts where you felt like could be better?
I think they looked a little bit unorganised at times, Kempy. Mm. Yeah, and that comes down to... You know, the communication and the combination of your 9, 7, 6 mainly. Your number one is involved as well. But I just think that, you know, there was a bit of a breakdown between the organisation, between Walters, Mam and Reynolds. Yeah, Reno's kicking was a little bit off too. So,
yeah, for sure.
He's been in the game for a long time. He's a professional. Coming back to Australia, I think he would have done a lot of work on that. Like I said, mate, I think they'll fix up those deficiencies that they had over in Vegas, and they'll play well. That's the main thing. Once they have that cohesion back, they'll be hard to beat.
Wasn't it interesting seeing like how small a space Reece Walsh usually works in? Because he was probably the only player that really did struggle with that short, that tighter field in Vegas. Yeah. You could see him, you know, constantly running out of room where usually that's the space that he attacks and he just slides through somehow, some way.
Yeah, absolutely. And mate, they last year in particular, they did a really good job of creating space for Reece Walsh just to use that blinding speed, right? So he'd get him out the back of those sweeping block plays and then he'd have his little skip, his little goosey. He'd get outside the opposition center and he'd have that space then to either go through it or, you know, draw and pass to his center or winger. Whereas that skinnier, more narrow field of the NFL, it just, that space wasn't there. Mm. Right. So it's easier. There's less field to defend for the opposition, but he still come up with that unbelievable play.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable play where he put that sort of in and away on a defender and then was able to drop the ball onto his left boot. Mate, when you watch it, you're just like, how?
Mate, he's...
How do you do that?
His highlight reel by the end of his career is going to be outrageous. Like, seriously outrageous. All righty, Sharks v. the Bulldogs. Craig Fitzgibbon, he's only made one change, and that's Rudolph moves to the starting side, who I thought was outstanding against the Warriors. Hunt goes to the bench. He struggled with a couple offloads that didn't need to be, I guess, thrown, but hopefully he can bounce back. Itto has been named 18th man, so he might come in soon. Adokar out for a few weeks as he recovers from an AC injury, with a new recruit, Tracy, taking place on the wing. Besides that, Seraldo is stuck with his round one side. Mm-hmm. Sexton to get a sniff in the halves this year, potentially. Azeri at 18th man. Apparently, he went well in attack in New South Wales Cup. Struggled a little bit in defence.
Yep.
What do you reckon about this?
Yeah, look, I think Sharkies will win this one. I think this Bulldog side will take a few weeks to get going, given, you know, there's some new players and whatnot, and they're still, I reckon their team is not quite settled, particularly their starting 13. I don't know if Seraldo's sort of, settled on what is his best 13. And we've covered a fair bit of the Doggies already, so we'll talk a bit about the Sharks. You know, Fitzy, you know, of course he's shown in faith in the side that went over to New Zealand, had a strong win because they played so well. Mm. Rudolph, of course, comes in. He's a great front rower. This will be live on SEN as well, Kempy. Jimmy Smith, Timmy Manor and Justin Horrow covering this one. Look, you can't look past the Sharks, really. They love Shark Park. They love playing at home. I think this will be one that's a little bit too hard for Doggies.
Yeah, I think the Sharkies will probably get the job done. I guess the question will be, can the Sharks attack click? Because their attack on the weekend was pretty clunky. Oh, pretty clunky is an understatement. But the Sharkies, they're actually favourites, outright favourites, to be top of the ladder by round 5 and round 10, because their run to top 8 sides is, you know, very minimal. Mm-hmm. And if I'm Craig Fitzgibbon, you know, I wouldn't be... You don't want to look too far ahead, for sure. Mm. But at the same time, you need to take the points where you can get them. And... Yeah. If you can finish that round 10 winning 7 out of the 10 games, geez, that puts you in good stead heading into the back end of the season.
Yeah, well, mate, we've spoken about this on the show before. Like, if you can bank wins early, you put yourself in a really good position coming into, you know, the last part of the season, because you just don't know who's going to be available, who's playing rep footy. You know, big chance that Nicho Hynes will be playing State of Origin football this year. So there goes your half for, yeah, maybe two, possibly three matches during that Origin period, depending on, you know, your structure of your season and the draw. But you got to bank them, mate. Like, you really do. And I don't think, when I was playing, I didn't have an issue looking ahead slightly. You know, this was a big no-no for Craig. Like, he was dead set. He was dead set day at a time.
Yeah, wow.
You know, let alone, you know, sort of looking forward to who's coming up next. But like, for the Sharkies as a player, I don't mind looking ahead, thinking, well, okay, let's look at the next month and put a bit of a goal of where we should be sitting. Like, you know, they take on the Dogs this week, and then after that, they've got the West Tigers. At Leichhardt, then they take on the Raiders round four. Round five, they got the bye.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're Sharky's looking at that thinking, well, you know what, like, it wouldn't be unfair of us to think that we could be undefeated in round five.
Yeah, mate, I think that having a goal as a playing group, it almost focuses you a little bit, because sometimes I feel like if you just, and look, who am I to question the great Craig Bellamy, he clearly knows what he's talking about. But I do think it does focus you a little bit, especially not necessarily in the tougher games, but in the not so tough games.
Yeah.
Because if you go, okay, boys, we can win 4 out of 5, and you roll into your second or third game against a lower tier side, quotation,
yes,
it focuses you in and says, not just like, oh, we'll go out and get it done. It goes, no, we have to, because we have this goal.
That's right, mate. Keeps you on task, doesn't
it? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, next game, Panthers versus the Eels, Friday 8 p.m. That's weird. Friday 8 p.m., Bluebet Stadium, huge clash. Kenny returns. I think he is one of the most underappreciated hookers in the competition. Yep. He takes his place going, he'll start. And then you've got Scotty Sorensen, also returns in the back row, another guy, super underrated. Mm-hmm. Eels team news, Arthur has gone with the same 17 that got the job done over the Doggies. There was doubt around Moses and a groin injury, which he will overcome.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on this absolutely huge clash?
Yeah, great matchup. Not just with the teams, but also individuals. You know, you got Moses versus Cleary in the halves. What I'm keen to see is how do Penrith bounce back? Because all I believe in these early rounds, particularly after that loss against Melbourne, I think there's going to be a few eyeballs on Penrith, right? Now, they have done what no other team's done in a very, very long time, and that's won three consecutive premierships, right? In a extremely competitive competition. But the way they've started out this year, with, you know, they went over to England, they lost in, you know, I guess, controversial circumstances, but then they come home, they're well below their best against Melbourne, and they lose that one as well. I guess now is, how do they bounce back against a side that they, you know, Parramatta, out of all the teams in the competition, off the top of my head, I'm just trying to think that they've probably got the best win-loss record against them in the past 3 years, Kempy. Would that be fairly accurate for saying that?
Easily. I'll get it up in a sec here, because it was actually posted to Instagram, and they have a 45% win rate against the Penrith Panthers during this dynasty. Mm-hmm. Then it goes Melbourne Storm with 36. Then it goes West Tigers, 33%.
Wow.
So Parramatta, absolutely. They've won 5 of 11 games, which is pretty incredible when you consider Penrith's dynasty record.
Yep.
And that's thanks to Random Stats Guy, by the way, on Instagram.
There you go. So, if there's ever a chance of someone knocking them off, I guess Eels are the team to do it. And they've won at Penrith too, mate.
Yeah.
They've beat them up there at Bluebet. So, Battle of the West. I'm really looking forward to this one.
Well, it's such a unique position, because, you know, we've never really had a side in our generation win 3 premierships in the right row. And I tell you what sells papers. Penrith Panthers go 0-3. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying that will happen, but people that, you know, to the hardcore footy fans, we all know that these guys could kick into gear by round 11 or 12.
Yep.
But if they go loss, or something along those lines, which is it's a tiny fraction in the grand scheme of things of what they can do, the headlines will write themselves, and that's when external pressure will really test their, you know, resolve of not pointing. Because for the last 3 years, there's been essentially no dramas. I know they started a little bit slow last year, but, you know, it wasn't that slow. No. Now, it's all... Everything is much easier when you're winning footy games. But then, cracks that were there the whole time, but you're winning footy games, they don't, you know, become apparent. But when you get pressure from media, from outside noise, things that maybe weren't so good do get exposed. Now, I don't think that Penrith are a club that have a lot of cracks. I think they're absolutely incredible. But what I am saying is that there are so many people in the media that cannot wait to write that article that Penrith have fallen off, and you don't want to give them that ammo.
No. But you'd think, like, it's coming soon, right? So it's what Melbourne's copped for the last, how long do you reckon?
20 years? Seriously,
yeah.
Forever.
You know what I mean? Like, this is the year. This is the year. And it's just the storyline that's written about teams that have dominated. Mm. And so I suppose when you look at a side like Penrith, who have done such a great job over the last three seasons, well, you'd say four seasons. They finished runners-up in 2020.
Yeah.
But, you know, for a team that's done so well, like, they're starting to have to give up players.
Yeah.
And it's a consequence of their own, you know, well, their development, but also the quality of their performances and the way that they've gone on and won many, many football games. You know, clubs are out there. They want their players. Mm. They want their players to come to their club and have that influence on their club. So how many players have they lost now over the last couple of years?
Oh, mate.
Because of constraints on the salary cap. So they start out as juniors. They come through that entire system out there in Penrith, and they do so well to, you know, to bring them up through that pathway. They become consistent first graders. Then they become representative players, premiership players, and then they can't afford to keep them all. So that's the challenge now for Penrith, is to keep rejuvenating their squad when they're consistently losing players to other clubs going in and just offering money that they can't afford to pay, which we've seen, you know, with Crichton, with, you know, Spencer Lienu, now Luai will be moving on next year. That's the challenge for them, as well as aiming up every week,
yep,
because every team is out to get them.
Yep. Every team, a lot of fans, because, you know, we all love the underdog coming through, but as soon as they get on top, you know, we love to find a reason to hate. Look, I think Panthers are prepared for this. I think that just recently they announced the re-signing of Tungo, which is a great re-signing.
Yes.
But this clash, oh man, it's going to be fireworks. We're going to head to a break. After the break, our preview of round 2 continues.